Let's just bow for a word of prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, the risen Saviour who dwells on the right hand of the Majesty on high. But our Father, we thank Thee today that the Lord Jesus is not a God afar off while He dwells on the Majesty on high, but He is a God who is near to us and has pledged His presence with His people. And Father, we pray that just as really as Thou didst appear to those disciples by the Sea of Galilee, may we be aware today of the nearness and the presence and the power of the Lord. And Father, we pray that Thou would touch every heart. And for those who know Thee, O God, we pray that Thou would draw us ever nearer to the precious wounded side of our Lord and Savior. And Father, should there be any here today who have never yet come to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus as their Savior, or Father, we pray that Thou would speak to them, that Thou would make the way abundantly clear, and grant, O God, that even this day they would pass from death unto life, and from the devil's prison into the glorious light and liberty of the sons of God. And to this end, our Father, we pray that Thou would speak by Thy power. We recognize that the word must not go forth with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so therefore we pray, Father, that Thou would come in Thy power, that Thou would speak to us, and Father, give us a hearing ear and the understanding heart. O God, close us in with Thyself, and take away every distracting thought that this world would bring. And Father, we ask of Thee that Thou would suit a blessing to those who have a special needs. We think, Lord, that those four families bereft of their soldier kin in this war in Afghanistan, we pray today Thou would comfort them and bless them, and may the presence of the Lord be their portion. O God, we pray that they might know the nearness of the Lord in the time of need. Be with us now, we pray, and speak with Thy power, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In recent weeks, we have been focusing on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, which we have told you over and over again, is the keystone and the capstone of all Christian doctrine. There's a fascinating study when you think of the resurrection of the Lord, how that He who was so alive was crucified and died. When He died, the trillions of cells that made up the earthly body of the Lord Jesus, they all died. And then when you think of the notable miracle that was wrought, how that those trillions of cells came alive again by supernatural power. And this was the only occasion in the history of this world that has ever been done, because it was done by His own power. The Lord Jesus raised others from the dead. The prophets also, under the power of God, saw the same miracle wrought. But when Jesus rose, He didn't rise by another power. He rose by His own power. And so there's a fascinating study when you consider the miracle of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Equally fascinating are the post-resurrection appearances of the Lord, because we discover Jesus is still alive and He is living in the power of an endless life. And we have been looking at these already. We have looked, for example, at the time when He appeared and came miraculously into the upper room on that occasion when Thomas was not there. And then a week later, when Thomas was there, the Lord appeared again and said unto them, "Peace be still." Larry, He spoke to you about those men on the road to Emmaus who met the Lord after His resurrection. And then last week we saw the Lord showing Himself again to His disciples at the edge of the Sea of Galilee. Now today, I want to continue that Galilee appearance of the Lord Jesus, especially as it pertains to the Apostle Peter. And I want to focus on three little words that Larry already has mentioned in his prayer, and I don't think he knew what I was going to preach about. It's always a blessing when you hear somebody else hit the very text in prayer, because it's an indication that the Lord has this message and the Lord is going to speak to some soul from it. And so the three little words are that question that the Lord gave to Peter on three occasions: Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And so we have a question here that is a short little question, just three words, but is a heart-searching question, and it comes to every one of us as individuals. And so not only to the Apostle Peter, but to us today, comes the question from the Lord, lovest thou me? Now the first thing I want to look at here is a very pertinent question, because Christianity is based on love. And you'll find that this is different to most of religions in the world today. Christianity is based on love. The love, first of all, of God towards a dying world. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And then along with that, there is the reciprocal love that God expects from us. Now, in a marriage, you have, hopefully, a blessed relationship, the husband with the wife and vice versa. But it is a fact that some marriages are not really warm experiences, but they are just existences. I met a young woman this past week who was along with a gardener doing some work for us, and she came from Russia. She had to marry someone here because of political considerations, and it's obvious the person that she had to marry was not somebody that she really loved. It was a case of expediency. And so you think of somebody trapped in a situation like that in a union where there's not really love. But a true marriage under God is one that is a loving relationship. And when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we enter into not just an existence, but we enter into a loving relationship with the Lord Jesus. And this is an absolutely amazing question, and you'll see in a minute why. It's an absolutely amazing question that the Lord Jesus would ask of a mere mortal, and us by extension, mere mortals, ask us, lovest thou me? And so we have here a very pertinent question, because this question is not unnecessary for even those people, for example, who boast the greatest religious profession. The Apostle Peter was not just some ordinary person. He was a man who was specifically chosen with other disciples to be a follower of God. And Peter lived with the Lord Jesus Christ and saw Him and observed Him and listened to Him for some 3 years. And so, if you were to speak to disciples, they had a religious experience that very few, if any, have ever had, because they were with Him, they saw Him, they talked with Him, they fellowshiped with Him, they saw His miracles, and so they had a powerful religious profession. And yet it was to one of those that Jesus said, lovest thou me? And that reminds us that it is possible to have the forms of religion. You can look across this very land and around this area, and you'll see evidences all over the place of the forms of religion. But when the forms of religion do not have a love for Almighty God, coming to Him in the truth and in obedience to His word, then you've got a problem. Because forms without love are of no use. And you can find even the realms of Christianity that there are those who today will be in church services and they are singing the hymns and taking part in the prayers and the Bible readings and so on, and yet they only have a head knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and their brain is there but their heart is not there. And if a person only has the gaunt skeleton of orthodoxy, then they are, of all people, most miserable, like a cage without the bird inside. You see, Christianity is faith not in a thing. It's faith not in precepts. It's faith in a living person, the Lord Jesus Christ, one who loved us so much that He died for us, and one who to whom we should give our reciprocal love. So those who have the greatest religious profession, they need to face the question, lovest thou me. And then, those who have the greatest office in the church need to be asked that question. Because Peter was an apostle. He, along with others, was chosen to office in the foundling, in the early Christian church, and they were given tremendous responsibilities by Almighty God to go forth as apostles, in Peter's case, to the Jews, and in Paul's case, to the Gentiles, and others going to minister in various places. And so, the fact that they had great office did not take away from them the need to answer the question from the Lord Jesus, lovest thou me? And so therefore, it is necessary for ministers and pastors in the pulpit to answer that question. You see, it's very easy to give your hand work to the Lord. It's very easy to use your feet, for example, in the outreach for the Lord. Very easy to use your tongue for the Lord. But the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, my son, give me thine heart. And so the Lord is asking for something more than just the outward trappings of religion. He's coming to ask us, lovest thou me? And that question certainly comes to those who occupy the pulpit. And that question also comes to those who are elders, to be called an elder. There's a tremendous calling from Almighty God, and we'll be looking at this in much more detail later on when we come to the election of elders for the future. Tremendous office. And yet you can, like the minister, you can get people who are happy to work and to labour and to do all kinds of things for the extension of the kingdom of God. The question comes to ministers and to elders, lovest thou me? And likewise for deacons, because we'll be coming to elect a deacon's board to serve us for the next 3 years, and the deacons do a most important and responsible job in governing the church, especially from the practical end, and so they have a calling as well. And deacons are those who do work, and in most cases are volunteer workers. They volunteer their services and their time and never get a cent for the labour they do. And they do it gladly. But to deacons as well as to elders and ministers, there comes the question of the Lord, lovest thou me? Then also, that question is a pertinent question for those who have the greatest Christian privileges. You think of Peter along with James and John. These were three of the disciple band that the Lord called out to special privileges. For example, when the time came and he was going to show his glory and his power on the Mount of Transfiguration, the appearance there of Moses and Elijah, it was Peter and James and John the Lord took with him. When he came to the situation of raising Jairus' daughter from the dead, it was Peter, James and John he took into the home. When he came to the Garden of Gethsemane, and there with a great breaking heart prayed for the hour that was ahead of him, the hour of his crucifixion, the disciples were left at the boundary of the garden, but Peter and James and John were taken closer. And then the Lord, he went, in an agony of prayer, he prayed there for strength in the hour of that great need. Those three men have special privileges. And if I was to ask you today, do you have special privileges as a believer? You'd have to say yes, because you're saved by the grace of God. In this city there are thousands, millions of people, and the vast majority of them do not have the privilege of saving grace that you have today. And right now if they died, they would die in their sin and go out into a Christless eternity. But today you're saved. You have been raised from the tomb of sin, and you're today alive. and you have the blessing of knowing that no matter what happens in this world, you can always say, with truth based on the Word of God, it is well with my soul. And yet, despite those privileges, Jesus looking down and saying, lovest thou me? I was just reading this past week in my own reading in the Gospel of Luke about those 10 lepers, and the 10 of them were healed by the Lord, and only one come back. The other 9 rejoiced in what happened to them, but didn't come back to show their love and thankfulness and gratitude unto the Lord Jesus. The question comes to us today, lovest thou me? And then those who have the greatest warmth of zeal need to be asked the question. Because was there ever a more zealous disciple or apostle than Peter? He was the one we call the red hot disciple, because, well, when the Lord Jesus came across the Sea of Galilee walking in the water, and Peter's in the boat, he brashly says, Lord, bid me come unto thee. None of the rest of them even thought of that. But Peter did. The Lord said, come. And so Peter stepped outside the boat, and he walked in the water until he took his eyes off the Lord. And then he began to sink. But he was a zealous man, and zealous to do what the Lord Jesus himself was doing. And so he was a red hot disciple. And then when it came to the rest of the Lord Jesus outside the Garden of Gethsemane, and when the officers came and the soldiers came, and they came to arrest him, it was Peter who took the sword and cut the ear of Malchus. Because in him was a burning zeal to serve the Lord. Not knowing, in a few scant hours, he would hear the crow of a cockerel, and he'd go out and he'd weep bitterly, because not once but 3 times he denied the Lord. So here's a man who had great warmth of zeal. He was earnest in the work of God. But as that man, the Lord said, lovest thou me? Now today in our church, we have an army of workers. We have those who are very earnest in the work of God, in the Sunday school, in our day school, earnest and zealous in the personal work they're doing, an encourager to others, and willing to work and to do their best for the Lord. But the Lord is still saying, lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? Then this question is also important to those who have the greatest self-denial. Because Peter said to the Lord Jesus, at the time when the Lord Jesus met the young man, the rich young ruler, and that young man went away from the Lord Jesus, he turned his back on him, he went away sad and sorrowing, because he could not surrender all to the Lord. And Peter said at that time, Lord, we have left all. And so he was saying there that he suffered. And he gave of himself to the Lord. And for 3 years he was in college with the Lord Jesus Christ as his tutor. And he knew the Lord. But as Spurgeon said, to know is good, to love is better. And today, my friend, you may, like Peter, have given a lot to the Lord Jesus. You may have rendered unto him a lot, and it may have cost you a lot to become a Christian in terms of your family who may not be Christians. And so you've denied yourself and you've served the Lord. But still the Lord says, lovest thou me? And then, this question is also important to those who have taken the greatest stand. Peter was a man who stood up for the Lord in the earlier days, especially before his betrayal. He stood up for the Lord Jesus Christ. He contended earnestly. He with zeal did go forward as one who would preach and minister. But still the Lord said to him, Peter, lovest thou me? And today, my friend, we can stand before God and say, yes, we are firm Protestants. We are firm fundamentalists. We take a stand for God. We are earnest advocates of truth. We see ourselves as good soldiers of the Lord Jesus. We're convinced separatists. We're all of these things. But Jesus still says, lovest thou me. I want to go further. This is not just a pertinent question, but it is a very personal question. Because this was directed to one man and by extension to us all. Now, I want you to notice a thought here. There was one thought. Jesus didn't say to Peter, do you believe the doctrines I've been preaching? Although those doctrines are of vital importance. He didn't say to him, have you followed the precepts that I laid down in 3 years of my ministry? Although obedience to those precepts is vital. He said to him, Peter, lovest thou me? You notice the Lord Jesus used the old unconverted name, Simon Peter. He used that name to him, reminding him and touching the very pulse of the soul of his apostle. Jesus didn't say to him, Peter, you denied me. He didn't say, you denied me 3 times. Are you willing to repent of the denials you have given? He said, Peter, lovest thou me? He didn't say to Peter, Peter, have you got faith to believe that I can show you mercy and I can restore you to the fellowship and the service? No, just one question and one leading thought, and that is, lovest thou me? And my friend, that is the question the Lord Jesus would pose to each one of us today. And he's asking us individually and collectively, lovest thou me? Now I want you to notice that this question came from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It was directed to Peter personally, and by extension, it is directed to each one of us. Now, here is an absolutely amazing thought. That Jesus Christ, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and who is God of very God. And I have in recent times shared with you some physical illustrations of the immensity of God. When you look at the immensity of this universe and you realize that God made this, and the one that makes it is bigger than the thing that is made, you look at the immensity of it and you look down at ourselves and you wonder why would God Almighty be so interested in our feeble love? A couple of days ago, I was doing a job in the garden and had to lift up a few flagstones or paving stones. Lifted up one, and there was in below it a nest of ants. Little teensy yellow ants, at least that's what they looked like. Very, very small, not even maybe a 20th of an inch long, nest them, little eggs and so on. I'm looking down at them, and I don't really care very much about ants in my garden or in the house. Not very concerned whether those ants love me or do not love me, because the flagstones have moved anyhow and they'll have to move their nest to somewhere else. But it gives you some idea how big we are compared to a little teensy ant. And yet the Lord, looking down from heaven, would ask us, lovest thou me? An amazing demonstration of the grace of God. And my friend, without an essential love for Christ, and without a heart for him, then no work that we do will be of any use. You take, for example, the ordinances of the church. the ordinance of baptism. Believers ought to be baptized. They ought to obey the command of the Lord. But baptism done as a rite without love to the Lord becomes only a bath. The communion table, where we meet around the table on a set of occasions to remember the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we take the bread and we drink the wine. If we come to the table and there's no love in our heart to the Lord Jesus, then that communion service just becomes a mere act. To Peter, three times, the Lord says, "Lovest thou me?" Now there's something here, friend, that you can't see in the English. Now I'm not trying to explain it to you, because it shows you something of the greatness of the love of the Lord our God. When Jesus said to Peter in verse number 15, "Lovest thou me more than these?" He's referring to the disciples, other disciples. "Peter, are you one that has more love for me than these other brethren that I've called?" Always in the back of the mind is the thought of Peter's denial. And the Lord said to him, "Lovest thou me?" And the word for love there is agapeo, which is the word that is for giving to us the highest reverential love. And every time you read in the Bible about the love of God, it's always in that word agape. And so he's come to Peter and he's saying, "Peter, lovest thou me with that highest reverential love?" That is directed towards Almighty God. In verse 15, Peter says, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." But what we don't see in English is that there's a different Greek word for love than the question the Lord posed. Agapeo, the highest reverential love. "Peter, lovest thou me?" But Peter responds to phileo, which is the more emotional love of a friend, and more human in its content. And so the Lord asks him for the highest reverential love, and Peter, all he can do is say, "Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." And he is pitching his love on a lower plane than was asked of him by the Lord Jesus Christ. Then in verse number 16, Jesus saith to him the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" And again, that word for the highest reverential love is reserved for God. "Peter, lovest thou me?" And poor Peter can go no higher, because he has to answer again. In verse 16, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee, phileo," which is that lesser love, the emotional love that we would have for friends. And that's as high as Peter can pitch it. Can't get any higher than that. And then, in verse 17, and here's the amazing grace of the Lord. He saith unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" And this time the Lord Jesus did not use the word agapeo, but he himself come down to Peter's level, and he said, this time, phileo, lovest thou me? And so, my friend, what does that mean? That means that Jesus condescended to accept Peter at the level that he was. And poor Peter couldn't get any higher. And the great encouragement to us today is that our feeble love is acceptable to God just as long as it's real. And so he's asking us today, "Lovest thou me?" But in that question, there is something that shows us what love should be like. Because over in John chapter 14, the Lord Jesus said in verse 21, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. So if we profess that we love the Lord Jesus Christ, then we must be obedient to his commandments. Because if the Lord tells us this and we say no, and we disobey his commandments, we can't say, my Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. We can't say we love him if we do not obey him. You take again the marriage situation at home. If the husband makes a request to the wife and she doesn't do it, maybe sew a button on, which wives don't really like to do, or used to darn socks, not nowadays, but in those earlier days, and wife didn't like to do that, and the husband asks for that and doesn't do it, well, no, she doesn't like it. But then over a period of time, a whole bunch of requests are made and none of them are done. Or likewise, the husband, he's asked to go and put the garbage out, which husbands don't like to do either, and he has to do certain things and doesn't do them. And over a period of time, doesn't do them, then the question comes, how can you love me? You don't obey me. And you think of that case, the sad, sad case of Samson, and the words spoken by Delilah, which in the context are not good, but they give us a message. And that is, she said to him, how canst thou say thou lovest me when thy heart is not with me? And how can we say today that we love the Lord if we do not obey his word? You see, obedience, as the little children's chorus says, is the very best thing, because the hymn tells us, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. But there's a very practical question here as well as a personal question in closing, because the question the Lord Jesus asked Peter three times to match his three times denial had to do with future service. Three times Peter denied the Lord and he failed. But the Lord is going to recommission him. The Lord is going to send him into service. And so he says to him, after the first protestation by Peter, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee, he said, feed my lambs. And then the second time, feed my sheep. And then a third time, feed my sheep. And so there's something there, even, that's not visible in English, and that is regarding that word feed. Because the word feed there, in verse number 15, is the word bosko, which means to feed. The primary task of a shepherd coming to feed his flock. Number one task, to feed them, because if he doesn't feed them, they die. So the feeding of the flock is number one. Then when he says in verse number 16, feed my sheep, it's a different word in the Greek altogether. It's poimano, which is a different word, has the idea of tending like a shepherd, for example, disciplining the sheep, guiding the sheep, encouraging them, assisting them in whatever needs they might have. And then the third time he says it, in verse number 17, feed my sheep, he goes back to bosko again, which is to feed in the literal sense of giving them food. And they say, what's the message there? To me, the message is very clear. The man who's called to minister the word of God, his first task, his primary task, is to preach the word of the living God, that the people may be fed. First and last, we are to be feeders of the sheep and come and feed you with the word of God. In between the sandwich, you have the pastoral care, the tending of the shepherd, the discipline and so on, encouragement, assistance and so on. It's sandwiched in there. Dr. Cook, who taught us in the theological hall in the ministry of preaching, homiletics, which is the ministry of the word of God. And he said, every man must fail. Let him fail in the pastoral area rather than the ministry. Because if he fails to be a preacher of the Word of God, he's failed totally. And therefore cannot pastor. So what you have is a sandwich here. Between first and last, the preaching of the Word, you have the pastoral care of the flock. And so the Lord graciously recommissions Peter and sends him out, and he goes out to die a martyr's death after an illustrious life of preaching and pastoring the Church of Jesus Christ, and especially ministering to those who were of the ancient Jewish faith. And so you have the restoration. My friends, in the service of God, the vital element is the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in the use of our abilities, whatever abilities we may have, we can say, I can do this or I can do that. But without love for the Lord Jesus, it is a waste of time. And somebody else can say, well, I can go out and I'm willing to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. If your suffering is not motivated by love for him, then your suffering will bring to you a bitterness of heart and of soul. And somebody else says, I can go out, I can fight the battles. There are battles of faith that have to be fought. But the only reason you fight the battle is because of the love of God. And if you haven't got the love for Christ, then your fighting will be in vain. And so we come right down to the bottom line here. Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? And Paul said in the book of 2 Corinthians, the love of Christ constraineth me. And so whatever work we do, it must be constrained by a love for Christ. And whatever love we have for him is a love that will be obedient to the calling that he has given to us. May the Lord help us then to know the mind and the will of the Lord, to love him who first loved us, and to have our hearts just rejoicing in him. I wonder, my friend, when was the last time in your own meditation you were moved to tears? Not tears of sadness, but tears of unworthiness. And tears of joy, realizing what the Lord has done for your soul. And to read in the Bible, that not only does the Lord love us, but it tells us in one of the minor prophets that God rejoices over us with singing. And we look at ourselves and realize how, like Peter, we fail the Lord. And yet the Lord sings over us a paean of praise. Everyone melted. Remember one day driving the car and I had to stop because I couldn't see because my eyes were just running with tears, tears of gratitude unto the love of the Lord our God. Today, my friend, I pray that the Lord will draw us each one nearer and nearer to the precious wounded side of Christ and to hear this question, lovest thou me? And to be able to say honestly, like Peter, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Let's bow together in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we bow today before thee in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. And Lord, we acknowledge unto thee that we're unworthy servants of thine because none of us, and in our flesh is no good thing that would recommend us unto the mercy of God. But Lord, you loved us with an everlasting love, and thou dost lead us by grace that love to know. O God, we thank thee for every soul here saved by the grace of God. We thank thee, our Father, death and the holds no terrors for us, because we know when we come to die, we're going to be with him. And Lord, help us to understand just how priceless a privilege that is given by the bountiful hand of the Lord our God. O God, speak to our hearts, and draw out our hearts in love. And may we be able to say truly and to sing truly, my Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine, for thee all the follies and pleasures of sin I resign. So, Father, bless thy people. And Lord, should there be a soul here this morning that knows not the Lord Jesus, except with a head knowledge in their brain, Oh God, we pray that they might have an experimental knowledge in their heart of the saving grace of God. Lord, save them, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.